Chapter 9, Grand Calloway Station.
"Welcome to Grand Calloway Station, Bud," said Miss Thomas.
She stopped the car in front of a big house. I picked up my suitcase and got out of the car.
"Why is it called a station, ma'am?"
I asked.
"A long time ago, a lot of people were coming in and out of the house. It's like a train station, we thought, and Mr. C chose the name."
We went inside the house, and Miss Thomas showed me to my room. On one side of the room, there was a bed and a window. On the other side of the room, there were two little doors. Between the two doors, there was a chair and table. There was a big mirror on the table.
"I'll ask Mr. C where you can put your things," said Miss Thomas. "You won't be able to put anything in the closets."
She pointed at the two little doors.
"There are lots of old things in there that Mr. C needs to throw out."
I looked at the two doors. They were starting to make me nervous. They looked like the doors that a vampire or a ghost might come out. "Are those doors locked?" I asked her. She laughed.
"I don't think that they're locked, but don't worry. There are just some old girls' clothes and toys in there."
"Won't the girl be angry if she comes back and sees me in her bed?"
"No, Bud," said Miss Thomas. "Don't worry about that. She's gone."
Oh, no. That was one of my rules. Rules and Things, number 28. Gone means dead. So I was sleeping in the room of a little dead girl. How could I sleep now?
"I'll see you in the morning," said Miss Thomas. "Good night, Bud."
She closed the door. Not long after, the door was pushed open again, and Herman E. Calloway was standing there. He looked at me sitting on the bed and then ran across to the first closet door. He took out a key and locked it. Then he walked to the other closet door and locked that one too.
"You can trick the others," Herman whispered angrily to me, so Miss Thomas couldn't hear. "But you can't trick me. There's something about you that I don't like. I'm going to find out what it is, and then I'll send you back to where you came from."
Then he walked out and closed the door hard behind him. The door was still shaking when it opened again.
"And don't look around this room or anywhere else in this house," he said. "This is my house, and I'll know if anything moves or is missing."
Herman E. Calloway didn't need to worry. I told lies, but I didn't steal. I didn't understand how someone so mean could be anyone's daddy. I looked around the dead girl's room. There wasn't even anything there for me to steal. There were only pictures of horses on the walls. Maybe there was something special in the closets, but they were locked now. When I woke up, I thought that I was still dreaming. My clothes were folded up next to my bed, just the way Mama folded them. I looked again. There was a letter on the clothes. Mama left me letters, too. There was water in my eyes again. I closed them and opened them again a few times, and the letter disappeared. The clothes were still there, and they were still folded. "Thank you, Miss Thomas," I thought. I got out of bed, dressed, and went downstairs. I could hear Herman E. Calloway and Miss Thomas talking in the kitchen. They were talking about me.
I'm gonna find the truth about that boy, said Herman.
That's fine, said Miss Thomas. But until you find out what's happened in Flint, he's staying right here.
Well, good, said another voice. It was Steady Eddie.
I've got something for him, and I think he's gonna like it.
I ran quietly back upstairs to use the bathroom. Then I came back downstairs and walked into the kitchen. Good morning, Mr. Calloway, I said, but I didn't really mean it. Good morning, Miss Thomas, Mr. Jimmy, and Steady Eddie. They all smiled and said, good morning, bud. But Herman E. Calloway didn't say anything. He got up from the table and walked out of the kitchen.
We didn't want to wake you up, bud, said Miss Thomas. But then you surprised us and slept until noon.
I sat down at the table and waited for Mr. Jimmy to start making lunch.
Mr. Calloway, the band, and I talked about you for a very long time last night,
Miss Thomas told me.
I've got a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
We've got to talk to some people in Flint first, but if they say it's fine, we want you to stay here at Grand Calloway Station with us. Would you like that?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am,
I said. I smiled very widely.
Good, said Miss Thomas. Before you smile too much, I want to tell you that it's not going to be easy. You'll have a lot of chores to do, and we need you to help us when you can. Especially Mr. Calloway. I know he seems difficult, but he just needs more time. And he needs more help now because he's getting older. Can you do that?
Yes, ma'am, I said. I'm a lot stronger than I look. Miss Thomas smiled at me.
Now that you're gonna be part of the family, I've got something for you, said Steady Eddie.
He pointed at my suitcase.
Do you like that old suitcase? Or is it the things inside it that are important to you?
I thought about his question, then said, the things that I got from my mother are the most important. Steady Eddie nodded. He reached under the kitchen table and pulled out one of the strange black cases that people keep their instruments in. They were always strange shapes, and this was a strange shape, too.
This is my old saxophone case, said Steady Eddie. Someone stole the saxophone, but I kept the case. If you're going to travel with us, you need to carry something nicer than a cardboard suitcase.
Wow. Thank you, Steady Eddie. The door opened again. It was the other men in the band, and I showed them all my new case.
If you're staying, you need to know Mr. C's rules for the band, said Doug. Rule number one, you have to practice for 2 hours a day.
That's a good rule, said Mr. Jimmy.
That's why I got you this, bud, said Steady Eddie.
He gave me a long brown wooden instrument.
It's called a recorder. When you've practiced with it a lot, we can move on to a more difficult instrument.
Thank you, I said. Now we need to give you a name, said Doug. The members of the band all had special names like Steady Eddie or Doug the Thug.
After he cried last night, I think we should call him Baby Buddy, said Doug.
I think that we should call him Sleepy, said Steady Eddie.
He needs a name that tells people that he's really thin, said Roy.
What about Sleepy La Bone?
Said Eddie.
That's more interesting.
I smiled. Sleepy La Bone was better than all the other names people called me, like Buddy or Clarence. Because of the name, I wanted to practice on the recorder for 4 hours a day.